From Philadelphia, PA, it's Avenue G.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
A mythical, mirthful, musical place. It's groovy, it's grand, it transcends time and space, and it's a place where anything is possible. Martha Michael is in the house tonight, as well as Mac Jekyll and G-Town Radio's Ed Feldman. I'm Jim Harris. Welcome, everyone, to the March edition of Avenue G. This evening, we'll be celebrating St. Patrick's Day, and we'll be visited by His Holiness Pope Francis and several of the presidential candidates. And later on, I'll be reading from my latest work, The Book of 10,000 Excuses.
Hey, Jim, what's that thing you've got lodged in your ear? Looks like a plastic funnel.
No. This is my new holistic hearing aid. Although I'm surprised you can see it because they told me it was supposed to be invisible.
Holistic? What's that mean?
Well, that means it treats the whole person, taking into account mental and social factors and in addition to the physical symptoms of hearing loss. It was designed by the ergonomic audiology experts at the Mount Airy Institute of Healthiness.
But it's a funnel. It's just a plastic funnel.
Well, it might appear that way to your untrained eye, but it's actually a synthesis of organic materials. It's worth hundreds of dollars.
I just saw the exact same thing at the hardware store. $2.
Okay, look, if it bothers you that much, I'll remove it. There, you happy now?
Yes, I am. Oh, and by the way, I was wondering if I could be excused from tonight's show. I'd like to go home because I'm expecting a very important phone call about a job opening in Washington, D.C., if you know what I mean.
He can't hear you, Ed. Jim, put the plastic funnel back in your ear.
What? Can't hear you without my holistic hearing aid. I'll put it back in.
So, Ed, what's the important phone call you're waiting for?
Well, as you probably know, there's an opening on the Supreme Court ever since Justice Antonin Scalia died.
I think his name is Antonin Scalia.
Right, Antonin Scalia. And as soon as I found out they were looking for a new Supreme Court justice, I dusted off my old resume and mailed it in. Now I'm just going to sit back and wait for them to call me for an interview.
Ed, you have no training whatsoever in the law. Well, why would they hire you?
Well, for a start, have you ever seen me in a full-length black gown? I look fabulous. And I've got my own set of pearls. And, of course, silk opera gloves. If there's anyone who can fill his shoes, it's me.
Are you sure you want to fill his shoes? He was an arch conservative, and you have your own silk opera gloves. I'm not sure you match him ideologically.
Of course I do. He thought that the Constitution should be interpreted the way the founders wrote it back in 1492. I agree with that wholeheartedly. In my opinion, the only medical procedure that should be covered under Obamacare is drawing out evil humors with leeches.
Oh, brother, those people who say the Constitution should only cover things that existed back in the Revolutionary era are bonkers. I think Scalia was a goofball.
No, he wasn't. Why, he was a genius, a man of great humor and sophistication. He was a patron of the arts. Everyone who met him loved him, some more than others.
Who can replace a justice like Scalia? Who could come near the lofty things he said? What are the attributes that make Scalia? Conservative Catholic originalist who's dead. Congressmen vow they'll block Obama's choices, making us wait to see the court expand. But who do they think's in store? Another Sotomayor? Could anybody meet what they demand? Oh, who can replace a justice like Scalia? I'm thinking that Ed Feldman would be grand.
Thanks for the endorsement, Martha. That'll come in handy at my confirmation hearing. You know, I heard that Grammy Award-winning pop star Bruno Mars was actually the illegitimate love child of Antonin Scalia. No one knows who the mother was, but it was rumored to be Pamela Anderson from Baywatch.
How dare you say that? Why, a man of Antonin's caliber and refined taste would never stoop so low as to have an affair with an airhead like that. He loved women for their minds.
Wow, Martha, you really seem to know an awful lot about Scallion's love life.
Do I really? In some respects, I wonder if I ever really knew him at all.
What are you talking about?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all.
Okay, well, in that case, let's talk about something else. You know, I've been doing a study on why earthworms crawl out onto parking lots whenever it rains.
Yes, indeed. No one can know my secret, for who would believe that I, a humble, zany radio show sidekick, bore Antonin Scalia's love child?
Excuse me, Martha, were you just singing a few minutes ago? My invisible hearing aid popped out. I need some super glue. What was the song about?
Oh, nothing. Maybe we should just get on with the fun part of the show.
That's a great idea. And since it's St. Patrick's Day, the day when all Irishmen throw potato pancakes at snakes, Jim should sing a happy Irish ditty about the Emerald City.
That's the Emerald Isle, Ed.
Sure, do both. Even better.
Okay, here goes.
Irish eyes are smiling, sure it's like a morning spring. In the midst of Irish laughter, you can hear the angels sing. When Irish eyes are happy, all the world seems bright. Irish eyes are smiling, so they steal your heart away. Finneran and Haley, Donahue and Daly, Kennedy and Reagan too, Connery and Quinn, Barrymore and Flynn, Mr. and Mrs. Magoo. Sauerkraut and ham hocks, all are wearing shamrocks with people from Italia. Everybody's seen wearing other green on every St. Patrick's Day.
That was a great song, Jim. It completely put me in the mood for St. Patrick's Day.
But that's not all. Tonight we'll be having some wonderful traditional St. Patty's Day treats. I made scones.
Scones? Those things are disgusting. They taste like glue mixed with dryer lint. The way to really celebrate St. Patrick's Day is to eat those little Irish potato candies.
Those things make me gag. I think they're made out of earwax. Listen, everyone knows the best way to celebrate St. Patrick's Day is by drinking green beer. Just like St. Patrick did before he ascended to heaven on that green bicycle.
Green beer's just a sham made up by brewing companies to sucker idiots into buying their product.
Are you calling Ed an idiot? Because technically speaking, he's more of a moron.
Hold that thought. Somebody's at the door. Can I help you?
Good evening. I'm Tom Brokaw, legendary television news broadcaster. I'm giving a lecture at the Institute for Postmodern Phrenology to discuss my new book, The Greatest Generation Cookbook.
I'm sorry, the Institute for Postmodern Phrenology is located next door, but since you're here, I'm wondering if you could help us out. The three of us are locked in an intractable dispute about which food is the best for celebrating St. Patty's Day.
I think the solution is simple. You should have a debate, like the candidates do who are running for president. All you need to do is present an opening statement, then find a moderator to ask you some questions.
Could you be our moderator? After all, you're uniquely qualified. I remember when you interviewed a lady on the Today Show who made hats for chickens.
Sure, I'll be your moderator. Who wants to give the first opening statement? How about you, miss?
Very well. Today, we live in a nation that is great, but needs to be made whole. It is in times like these that we need the security and comfort we get from eating Irish potatoes.
Mr. Harris, what is your opening statement?
When my father came to this country, he spoke no English, and so he invented his own language made of squeaks and whistles. Yet he still could not prosper because of the huge corporate conglomerates forcing America to eat Wonder Bread. This is why I promote scones, the starch of justice.
And you, whoever you are, let's hear your opening statement.
My name is Ed Feldman, American patriot. Yesterday at breakfast, God told me that America needs to be great again. A beacon, glowing in green beer, in a bottle shaped like Ronald Reagan. Blessed be his name.
Thank you, Mr. Feldman. My first question is for you, Mr. Harris. What benefits can scones provide which Irish potatoes and green beer cannot?
You know, Some people ask why, but I ask how, why not eat scones? But we can't, because those crooks on Wall Street have been channeling money to Martha via her secret email account.
That is absolutely untrue. I've testified before the Special Committee on Candies and Sugary Food Items, and they have cleared me of any wrongdoing. I wish I could say the same about Ed, who's more than happy to drink green beer while declaring bankruptcy at the taxpayer's expense.
This is just the kind of petty smear campaign I would expect from Martha. You know, she's just a weak individual and a terrible, terrible person. I believe that we can put the tremendousness back in America. And what is more tremendous than green beer?
That's easy for you to say. After all, you inherited millions of dollars. You never had to work for a living like all those honest men and women who bake scones. When will you release your taxes, Mr. Feldman? When?
Quiet, you pinko commie. I don't need to listen to you and some dumb broad who likes Irish potatoes.
At least I have real hair. Yours looks like a possum died on your head, you suntanned lard bucket.
Yet again, Martha stoops to a new low. She's part of the establishment, not like me, and she smells like a skunk. With bad breath.
I think you're both grotesque, and your hands and feet are so small that I suspect you were both gelded soon after birth.
Hold on there, people. You're just calling each other names.
Oh, I see. You think we're stupid just because we haven't written a fancy cookbook like you.
You know, Jim is right. Why, I think you're nothing but a great big duty head.
You make me want to retch.
I'm sorry. I can't work under these conditions. I'll be leaving now. I would tell you exactly what I feel about you, but I have far too much gravitas. Good day.
Well, that didn't go very well. I guess we'll never see him again.
Maybe we should have been nicer to him. After all, if we had Tom Brokaw on our show, it would really help the rating.
Actually, Ed, I just got a report from the Nielsen Corporation. Our ratings just went through the roof. All the shouting and name-calling was super popular with our audience. I'm thinking we should have more debates.
That's a great idea. You know what would be really cool? When the Pope comes to be on our show, what if we got him into a debate with Donald Trump?
But how do we get Donald Trump to appear on our show on such short notice?
I might be able to help out with that. I belong to a coven of witches, and three of our members have been married to Donald Trump.
Donald Trump married three witches? I find that hard to believe.
Jim, think about it logically. How do you think Donald Trump gained all his wealth? It wasn't through hard work or talent. He made a pact with the devil decades ago.
Well, that does explain a lot. So what do you have in mind? You going to call your witch friends and tell them to send Trump over here?
Don't be silly, Jim. Witches don't use telephones. We communicate by burning wands of sage and sending smoke signals. I'll see if I can round them up.
Great idea. While you're doing that, let's play a commercial.
Hi, everybody. My name is Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. After I was roundly defeated in the Iowa caucuses, I felt mighty blue. But that all ended after I started drinking Eliminade. It's the fruity drink that makes you forget what a loser you are. I recommend it to all my friends, like Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey. So tell me, Chris, how has Eliminade changed your life?
Well, let me tell you, Lindsay. After I got squashed in the Vermont primaries, I was feeling sadder than a 1970s era Bruce Springsteen ballad. I couldn't sleep. I lost my appetite. I was down to eating only three cheesesteaks a day. But once I started drinking Eliminade, the magic came back.
Did you go back to New Jersey and once again become a successful, popular governor?
I did go back to New Jersey, but they all hate me there now. Unfortunately, the secret ingredients in Eliminade, which I think are pretty much sugar and turpentine, killed off enough of my brain cells that I stopped caring what people think.
And all your past mistakes became water under the bridge.
That's right. And it was a bridge I stopped traffic on. Fortunately, Eliminade has given me a new lease on life. After only one sip, I was ready to endorse Donald Trump for president. After all, his casinos helped turn Atlantic City into the job-creating paradise it is today.
That's a great story, Chris. You know, I have another pal who's a little down in the dumps lately and could use a lift from Eliminade. He's my good friend, Jeb Bush. Say, Jeb, why don't you try a little Eliminade?
What's the point? My life is over. I'm a complete failure. I'm an embarrassment to my family and all the oil men who worked so hard to create it.
Come now, Jeb. It's not that bad. You still have a loving wife who got caught smuggling jewelry into the U.S. And, of course, you have the greatest gift of all, inherited wealth.
big deal. My father was president and my brother was president. And all I got to do was be governor of stupid Florida.
Jeb, I think you should try a little Eliminade. It's guaranteed to lift your spirits while killing just the right amount of gray matter to make you forget your human limitation.
It's no fair. My dad got to bomb Iraq. My brother got to bomb Iraq. But I didn't get to bomb nothing. I already collected a whole bunch of bombs just for the occasion. And now I can't even use them.
Stop being such a wussy. Why don't you grow a pair? Like Donald Trump, he's going to bomb Iraq on the first day he gets into office.
But Chris, the Iraqis, they're now our friends, not our enemies.
But they will be, just as soon as Trump launches a nuclear strike on all the Muslim nations, and Mexico, and probably Africa, just to be on the safe side. They got Muslims there, right?
I'm sure they do. Well, in that case, it looks like everybody in the United States will need to start drinking Eliminade. So go out today and buy enough Eliminade to last for the next 4 years.
Well, that was an odd commercial. Did they pay us for that?
No, but they gave us a month's supply of Eliminade. I used it to wash my car.
Ed, you don't own a car.
Huh? Then whose car did I wash?
I'm amazed that all those former candidates were willing to be in a soft drink commercial.
Well, it's not all that surprising. After all, campaigning takes quite a toll on people. It's got to be rough.
Yeah, that's why I really admire Mr. Ted Cruz. I mean, he pointed out that Donald Trump is a fine, upstanding citizen with a unique and special outlook on life.
Ed, what are you talking about? Cruz hates Trump. He'd like to drop him off a cliff.
I'm talking about the fact that Ted Cruz is the first person to ever recognize that Donald Trump has values. New York values.
Well, I'm completely confused. What are these so-called New York values?
Jim, I have New York values. Let me explain it to you in a way you'll understand.
I was raised on New York concrete, broken glass beneath my feet. Running heroin in Harlem, living on the street. You find my way of life disturbing, I just call it urban. 'Cause I was raised with New York values. I was raised with New York values. Lust and debauchery, adult films, one night stands, and other unspeakable things. I know you can't be trusted of a life you find disgusting, but I was raised with New York values. This teeming, diverse human mass vibrates with energy. The lights at night, the buildings high, excite the heart of me. I know you can't be trusting of a life you find disgusting, but I was raised with New York values. I was raised with New York values. I was raised with New York values.
Thank y'all.
Okay, now I understand. That was a good explanation, Martha.
Hey, Jim, I thought you were going to read from your new book.
Oh, yeah, right. This is probably a good time to do it. And listen, you guys can help me. Let's get started.
A reading from the book of 10,000 Excuses. I found something of historical importance in my nose.
I'm having my shoes repaired.
My boa constrictor has a gopher stuck in his throat.
It's Klingon mating season.
Everyone picks on me because I'm not Mongolian.
A reading from the Book of 10,000 Excuses.
Jim, I think I see a late model Peugeot parking in front of the studio.
It's Pope Francis. He said he might stop by. As part of the new outreach of the Catholic Church, he's been on Germantown Avenue handing out flyers entitled, "So You Want to Be a Christian?" I'll go get him. Be back in a sec.
Is that really the Pope? What's he doing here?
He's an old friend of Jim's. Back in the 60s, the Pope was a bouncer at a club in Argentina. Jim played bass in a house band at the same club.
Hey, guys. I'd like you to meet my buddy here, George. His Holiness, Pope Francis.
Nice to meet you, His Holiness.
Well, it's nice to be here. What a friendly neighborhood you have. Someone washed my car while I was handing out pamphlets. Would any of you like a pamphlet?
Sure, I'll take a few.
Yeah, me too. So, Francis, what have you been up to?
Oh, you know, saving souls, trying to fix that Vatican bank. Same old, same old. How about you?
I have this show that we do once a month, and that's about it.
Nice gig. Say, Jim, you know you still owe me $20. You wouldn't happen to have it on you right now, would you?
No, I'm sorry. I'm kind of short right now.
There's no problem. Poverty is nothing to be ashamed of. Well, it's been nice meeting you all. I got to get back to work, so I'll see you later.
Wait.
Peace be with you.
Pope Francis, I was wondering if you could stick around for a bit. Donald Trump's coming over and thought you might want to talk to him.
Donald Trump? Who is he?
He's running for president.
You mean the guy with the orange hair? I wasn't really planning on speaking with him. How long would I have to wait?
Not too long. We're just waiting for some witches to get here so we can conjure him up. You see, Trump made a pact with the devil, so he spends a lot of time in hell.
I don't know. I'm kind of uncomfortable with this, Jim.
No, please, just wait till he gets here. It'll be worth your while, I promise.
Oh, okay.
In the meantime, here's a word from another one of our fine sponsors.
Marge, it seems like the life has gone out of our marriage. What's the problem, honey?
It's your hair, Bob. When you and I were first married, 15 years ago, you had a full head of hair, but now you're bald up top. Maybe if you had a comb over, I'd be more attracted to you.
But I've tried that 1,000 times, and it never works. My hair is too weak and indecisive. It never stays in place.
That's too bad, because if things don't change, I'm filing for divorce.
Not so fast, lady. I'm Donald Trump, megalomaniac future president, and I'm here to tell you about the fabulous, fabulous new product called Trump's Golden Comb Over Emulsifier. Not only will it keep your comb over in place, but it will give your hair a healthy orange glow.
Sounds great. Can I try it?
Sure. Let me just squirt a little on your hair and rub it in. Yeah. Why, before too long, you'll be looking absolutely fabulous. Then you can have as many exotic wives as you want.
Hey, this is working great. Why, I already feel more confident and arrogant and,
Fabulous! The word you're searching for is fabulous!
The Donald is right. You look young and vivacious and, if I may be so bold, super sexy. How about you and me heading off to the boudoir?
Are you nuts? Why would I want to sleep with an old hag like you?
Oh, Bob, how could you be so petty and uncaring?
It's easy. Now that I have Trump's golden comb-over emulsifier, isn't that right, Donald?
It sure is, by the way, Marge. You're fired. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm getting ready for a romantic evening with my wife.
Users of this product should avoid contact with pregnant women, Muslims, Mexicans, and Cuban Americans born in Canada. If your comb-over stiffens for more than 4 hours, contact your hairstylist. 3 AA batteries not included.
Well, why do I have the feeling we're not getting paid for that ad?
Hey, everybody, the witches are here. They're about to fly on their broomsticks through the window.
You know, Ed, you could have opened the window.
Shh, Jim, they're about to speak. Oh, great witches three, please speak to us.
Hello, I am Melania, third wife of Donald and his current chosen love.
And I am Ivana, first wife of the Donald who bore his mighty sons.
And I'm Marla. I'm just a bimbo he knocked up.
Oh, great wives, what is your message for us?
The wives of Trump, we lucky three, the ones who know the Donald most intimately. We are the ones who took his name, and we will continue to cash in on Donald's fame. No span of time or divorce decree can steal our notoriety. Ivana's clothes, Melania's jewels, and Marla is no longer in the news today. Still we enjoy his wealth and fame, and we
Well, thank you, ladies. Are you now ready to conjure up the Donald from the bowels of hell?
Yes. A spell for Donald Trump we make. In the cauldron, boil and bake.
Eye of snake and suit of brooks, hair of wombat, weasel looks.
Mouth of toilet, tact of ant, rabid rant to make him rant.
For a charm of powerful trouble, like a hell broth boil and bubble.
Add some poison mushroom tops to bring him lots of photo ops.
Add some leaves of marijuana to sell more clothes made by Ivana.
Drink our potion, cause a mania to follow Michelle with Melania.
Add some fennel root from Naples to raise the stock of Marla Maples.
And keep his polling numbers high, so we stay in the public eye.
Cool it with a liberal's blood, then the charm is firm and good.
He's here. Our dark lord is arriving.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Donald Trump. I just flew in from the bowels of hell, and boy, are my bat wings tired. Hey, that's a joke. You people should be laughing.
Thanks for stopping by, Mr. Trump. We were hoping you might have a discussion with our special guest.
I'm not sure how that can be because I'm as special a guest as you could ever ask for. I've recently been endorsed by the Ku Klux Klan and Chris Christie. That's right. I'm the favorite candidate of good old boys and Jersey boys.
That's a pretty good joke.
I wasn't joking. It is my goal to make America what it once was, back before life had evolved on planet Earth. It'll be a hellscape of polluted sulfur fields, and I will rule over it as a tyrannical overlord. A fabulous, classy, tyrannical overlord.
Mr. Trump, the Pope is here, and I was wondering if perhaps you would consider debating him? You recently said that he was pressured into criticizing you by the government of Mexico.
Of course, for as we all know, Mexico is basically a front for Al-Qaeda. Their goal is to destroy the Vatican. That would be the jewel in the crown that all Muslims wear on the Chinese New Year.
What? Do you have any clue what Islam is about?
Who the hell are you?
I'm the Pope.
Hey, nice suit. I didn't know Pep Boys sold clothes. Listen, Pope, the people I know, they know more than what the people who know. They're the people who will make the Mexican build a wall entirely out of tortilla chips.
Building walls doesn't solve any problems. And if you build one, you shouldn't build it out of tortilla chips. That would just attract ants.
You've got some nerve telling me that you don't like walls. You live in the Vatican. It's surrounded by a huge wall.
Hey, it's in Italy. It was built in like 800 AD. We were being attacked by Vandals and Huns.
Building walls is completely Christian. For as it is written in the Bible, in the book of 2 Dalmatians, for he who seeth a man coveting thy wife, not thy old first wife, but thy super hot third wife, build unto him a wall.
You're really kind of an idiot, huh?
I am the master of the universe, and when I become president, you shall all lie in front of me and serve as my slaves and concubines. Now, if you excuse me, I need to learn the codes to some nuclear bombs.
Oh, no. What have we done? Trump is the Antichrist. Even worse, he's the super Antichrist. with extra frosting.
Prepare for your destruction, humankind. I shall lay waste the land in a fabulous, fabulous rain of brimstone.
Pope Francis, help us. You need to rid us of this demon created by Satan.
I'm sorry, Jim, but there's nothing I can do. This fellow wasn't created by Satan. He was created by you. If you Americans spent more money helping the poor rather than buying expensive real estate and blowing your paychecks at casinos, Trump would be just another bald-headed New York slumlord.
But can't you conduct an exorcism and send him back to hell?
You watch too many movies, Jim. That's not the way I operate. I haven't got time to mess around with jokers like this. I'm too busy trying to buy shoes for poor kids in Central America or getting clean water for villages in Africa.
Oh, we're doomed. We're doomed. The only other way we could stop Trump would be by showing up and voting against him on Election Day. But that's such a drag. I mean, you have to stand in line for 15 minutes and fill out a form. It's too much.
Jim's right. If I were to actually exercise my constitutional right to vote, why, I might miss out on some quality daytime television. Like, Live with Kelly and Michael.
Yeah.
Tomorrow they'll be interviewing whatever's left of Regis Philbin.
Ooh. I'm sorry, but I must be leaving now. May the grace of God be with you all. Even you, Mr. Trump. Myself, I'm a strong believer in miracles. I can only hope that one day, Mr. Trump, you decide to grow up and act like a man. Good night, everybody.
Golly. I guess I might actually have to, you know, vote.
Me too. It looks like I'm going to have to pull my sorry ass off the couch and participate in an election. It just seems so un-American. It's like something a Canadian would do. Yuck.
No, no, if you vote, you'd be wasting your time. One person can't make a difference.
Martha, look, when you and I think about actually voting, it makes Trump become weaker.
No, it doesn't. I'm ruler of the cosmos. Pay no attention to that Pope behind the curtain.
Not only am I going to vote, but I'm going to get my friends to vote, too.
Yeah.
Why, I might even have a party on Election Day with free snacks and gather a whole bunch of people, like old ladies, and drive them to the polls.
Yeah.
Stop. Stop. I'm melting.
And maybe on Election Day, I'll shave my torso and wander the streets shirtless.
Ooh.
With the words, "Get out and vote," written on my chest.
I'm melting. I'm melting. Oh, my beautiful self. My beautiful, horrible self.
Why, Jim, you've killed him. He's melted into a puddle of water.
What shall we wives do?
Ladies, you are free. You no longer have to conform to the female stereotypes that the Donald required of you. This is a great day. You can discover who you really are now. And if someone asks you to do something you don't want to do, just use one of the fabulous excuses from my new book, like this one, number 37. I can't because I'm being demagnetized. Or I have to Xerox my floor mats.
Don't we have a commercial to run?
Or I can't, I just found out that Elvis died.
Look,
or
Martha,
perhaps
the three witches are flying off. Jim's driven them away.
But he's also driving away our audience. You must do something soon. He must be stopped.
Well, look, you know, Jim, I'd really like to hear one more song before we end the show. How about another Irish tune?
Yep. I'll even play along with you.
Sure, that's a great idea. Here's an old standard that I wrote some new words to.
Now me mother came from Ireland. Me daddy, I don't know. So I count myself as Irish, as far as those things go. She worked hard as a waitress, a paycheck home to bring. And she taught me by example one very important thing. Keep running for your family, keep running for your God, keep running till you're empty and they plant you in the sod. Keep running like the rabbit, even though you don't know why. But above all else, keep running. And when you can't run no more, then fly. Now my old friend the robin, she puts on quite a show. I see her in the meadow, just a running to and fro. But she seldom takes to flying,
until it's time to go. And she taught me by example everything that I need to know. Keep running bright and early. Keep running for the worm. Keep running till you're ancient, decrepit and infirm. Keep running like the robin, even though you don't know why. But above all else, keep running. When you can't run no more, then fly. Well, that's it for this edition of Avenue G. Tonight's show was written by Mac Jekyll, Martha Michael, and Jim Harris, and G-Town Radio's own Ed Feldman. For those of you in the Philadelphia area, come out and see our live show every first Friday at 7 p.m. at the beautiful Alma Mater Restaurant at 7165 Germantown Avenue. Our next show there will be Friday, April 1st. Check out all our podcasts anytime at avenue-g.net. I'm Jim Harris. Thanks for listening, and good night.